Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
And a very good happy Friday to you and yours on this 22nd day of October. Strom Sports Show, Steven Strom here. Great to have you in. We have John Krasinski, Johnny Athletic. He covers the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know who he is. We get into all things NBA, not just the Wolves. We touch up on little Miami Heat. We know that I'm working there, so I had to sprinkle in a little bit of Miami Heat. We go around the league, talk about the West, the East. We talk a little MVP odds as well. And then we have to, of course, get into John Krasinski's live reads of Manscaped, which I've been there. It's difficult, but John does a really good job keeping it funny, you know, keeping it cool. So he will join us in just a few here. We're going to hit on a couple of topics, and we'll get into my Steve's three NFL guarantees, which went 2-1 last week. We're 11-6 overall, so I'm ready to unveil my three locks of the weekend. But I really, again, I wanted to kind of dance around today. First off, we'll do the Vikes. Thank God they're on a bye week. I think everyone sort of needs to take a step back and needs to have a normal weekend. For me, go to the beach. For you, just do anything other than stress from 1 to 4 or 12 to 3 whenever your time frame is with the Vikings, because these first 6 weeks, I mean, you talk about, this is what a Viking fan goes through. This is the epitome of being a Viking fan. Week one, it's the overtime in Cincinnati. Dalvin Cook fumbles. The week after that, you got the missed field goal in Arizona. The week after that, they beat Seattle. Then they come back home and they lose to Cleveland. And then they win last week in just a roller coaster of a game. And then they have the Detroit game where they're up the entire time, 16-6. Somehow, someway, Detroit comes back and they're up 17-16 and Greg Joseph needs to make a kick. Every game has been, it's in its own, you know, story. You look at the first 6 weeks, the Vikings have not had a game other than Seattle where it hasn't come down to basically the last possession. You're overtime against Cincinnati, the missed kick against Arizona. It was a one-possession game against Cleveland. It came down to a Hail Mary. And then the Greg Joseph make late in the game, and then the Panthers OT. So if any team needs a bye week, it's the Vikings. And if any fan base needs a bye week, it is the Minnesota Vikings fans. But the best thing about it is right now you look at the standings, they're 3-3. If you would have told me after that Arizona game that they were going to be 3-3, I would have said, I don't know. And look at the team that, you know, Arizona's 6-0. Like the teams that they've lost to, Cleveland's not bad. Cincinnati has shown that they're for real. These teams that they've lost to. So right now, you have to be pretty bullish right now if you're a Viking fan. They get the bye week this week. They come back and play Dallas, and Dallas is also on a bye week. Dak Prescott screwed up something. It might have been, it was a lower body injury, but, you know, he gets to lick his wounds just like how the Vikings do. One hit to the Vikings team was Patrick Peterson. He's going to be out at least 3 weeks, I'm sorry. So I'm sure they're counting this as a week with the bye week. But I'm feeling pretty good right now about the Vikes. Kirk Cousins has played the best football in his career, not even just in a Vikings uniform. You know, the wide receivers, Jefferson last week, and Thielen with double-digit catches. The defense has the number one third-down conversion stopping rate. So there's things to really look forward to right now. And the schedule ahead, yes, it's challenging. Coming out of the bye week, they have Dallas, then they're at Baltimore, they're at the Chargers, home against the Packers, and then at San Francisco. And I know you're probably thinking, no way they get out of that, probably, you know, winning two games tops. But go look at Green Bay's schedule. This is how they read after they play the Washington football team this weekend. They play at Arizona, at Kansas City, home against Seattle. Hopefully Russell Wilson's back. At Minnesota, home against the Rams. So that's a tough stretch as well. Those next, other than Washington, those next five games, those are going to be extremely tough. I think that they have a harder schedule than the Vikings. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with the Vikes. And we're going to shake and dance here. I want to touch up on the Minnesota Wild, who are off to a really good start. 2-0 on their West Coast road trip. They come home. And then they have this wild win against Winnipeg where they're down 5-3. They come back and storm and tie it up 5-5. Kirill Kaprizov's got 5 assists already. They go into overtime. And ultimately, you know, the Joel Eriksson-Ek hat trick prevails. And the Minnesota Wild are sitting at 3-0 to start the season. I don't know when the last time they did that, but Joel Eriksson-Ek again powered through 3 goals. And, you know, obviously the one in overtime on the power play just puts him, you know, puts him above. But, you know, I was looking, you know, while I was watching this game, I was like, all right, like people were a little upset, I assume, with Suter and Parisi and, you know, how that ended up. I think more about financials. But watching this team play, it's like, yeah, like they don't have sort of, and I don't mean to call them dinosaurs, but that's what I'm going to use them as. They don't have these like older players that are slowing them up. You look up and down the lineup, it's speed, it's grit, it's toughness. It's not like, I'm not calling Parisi and Suter tough because they were, but it almost feels like Adrian Peterson towards the end of his career, almost holding back the Vikings in terms of force feeding him and feeling like you have to give him 20 carries when at this point in his career, he shouldn't be getting 20 carries. And, you know, we love the loyalty in sports, but at some point you got to cut ties. And I think for Bill Guerin right now, he's rolling sevens and he's got to continue to make those business decisions instead of the emotional attachment to some of these players. And he's shown that he's willing to do that. And it's a brand new team. I mean, they're sitting here, they're 3-0, it's early on, but they look like a completely different team. They outshot Winnipeg 18-5 in the third period. They dominated that third period. So good stuff here. The Gopher football team beating Nebraska. I know people, the older people out there can't stand PJ Fleck, what he does as far as antics. You're going to have to live with it. He's going to be here as long as he wants to stay here. That's just really what it comes down to. He's beaten Nebraska 3 times in a row now. If you would have told me that we had a coach that was going to come in and beat Nebraska 3 times in a row, every one of you guys would sign up for it. And, you know, we look at some of the bad coaches, the Tim Brewsters, and there's been a lot of them, you know. I much rather have a guy that wins and I'll deal with his antics, I don't really care, than a guy that loses and he's boring. And that's what PJ Fleck is. PJ Fleck is flamboyant. He is rambunctious. He's hyper. And that's who he is. And he's not changing. So the Gophers, look at them. Like right now, the state of sports right now in Minnesota is like very underratedly like positive. You look across the board and like look at college football right now as far as the Gophers go. Look, I mean, they lost to Bowling Green, but I mean, it's not a conference game. So what does it really mean? They're 4-2 and they're 2-1 in the Big Ten West. Iowa just lost to Purdue. The Gophers beat Purdue in Purdue. And you look at the schedule and you start to think to yourself, home against Maryland, at Northwestern, home against Illinois. You could potentially be going into Iowa, what, 7-2, 5-1 in the Big Ten? You let it rip at that point. So for the Gophers, I mean, you're sitting back here and you're like, wait, how did we lose to Bowling Green, but then we go to Colorado and we win 30-0, and then we come back home and then we go to Illinois, we go to Purdue and we beat Purdue and we come back home and beat Nebraska. It's just this, again, the roller coaster. It's the roller coaster of being a Minnesota fan. So right now the state is I think, very in a really good spot right now. You got the Wolves who blew out Houston, and look, Houston is terrible. I don't want to rain on the Timberwolves parade. Houston is god awful. Their over under this year was 27.5. I don't even think you can name 2 or 3 players on that team right now. They're a terrible team. And I'm glad the Timberwolves took care of business. They blew them out. They didn't let them have a chance to get into the game. Houston's a terrible team. Let's wait until the Timberwolves play an NBA team. That is a like, people call it quadruple A for baseball. There's triple A in a major league, and there's quadruple A players, guys that aren't good enough for the MLB, but they're too good for triple A. That's what the Houston Rockets are. They're not anywhere near where they probably should be as far as an NBA team. So, but again, to bring it all together, the state right now is in good hands. The Vikings are 3-3, probably should be better. but it almost evened out in a lot of ways. Probably shouldn't have beaten Detroit. Probably shouldn't have beaten Carolina. And probably should have beat the Cardinals. Probably should have beat Cincinnati. So that evened out. The Wolves off to whatever, the 1-0 start. The Wild definitely going to be in the thick of things come playoff time. Gopher football in the thick of things has a real opportunity to get to a Big Ten championship. Iowa is susceptible, and the Gophers aren't great. But I don't know if you have to be necessarily great to win this conference at this point. Wisconsin's on a down year. Iowa's good. They're not great. And Minnesota, they've shown they can hang with the big boys. They can hang with the Ohio States, but then they can lose to Bowling Green as 30-point favorites. Bottom line, State is in good hands right now. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep it that way. And with that being said, let's get to the picks because another bounce back week, really nice week. Let's get the imaging. Let's get your three locks. Let's get your pen and paper out. Let's get the wallet out, and let's do this thing.
It's time for Steve's three NFL guarantees.
All right, last week, 2-1. Vikings minus one, never a doubt. Lies. Browns minus three, lose outright to Arizona. And then you had the Titans plus 5.5 out all over that bad boy. They went out and they beat Buffalo straight up. There was multiple times I was looking at my phone during Monday night and saying, because I took Tennessee plus 5.5, and then I live bet them plus 9.5. And I was like, dude, you might as well money line. I said, you know what, Steven, just play it safe. And that's what I did. Ended up winning, but kind of annoyed I didn't go money line because it was at times like 375 plus 375. So anyway, 2-1 week, 11-6 overall. Without that, you know, with that being said, week 7, here we go. It goes quick, folks. Rams, minus 15, home against the Lions. Lions, oh, man. Gotta be tough to be a Lion fan. Rams, minus 15. Here's a couple of reasons why I really like it. The Rams are finally home, and McVay rarely has these, like, sleeper games. He's going up against Jared Goff, who, and this is some of the emotional edge. I love the Patriots and the Buccaneers game for that reason, the quarterback and the coach. And I took the coach and Belichick, and I ended up winning. I'm taking the coach here with McVay, and I'm taking Stafford, too. Stafford wants to hand it to Detroit. He just does. He's finally on a winning team. He's been able to flex his muscles a little bit and say, here's what happens if I'm on a pretty good team with a good roster and a good head coach. Here's the result. I think L.A. comes out here, and this has like 34-7 written all over it. Give me the Rams minus 15. Don't overthink it. Next one for you. This is a pretty huge game for Brian Flores down here in Miami. And I actually do like the Dolphins in this spot, plus 2.5 at home against Atlanta. The Dolphins, after starting 1-0, have dropped their last 5 games. They had a brutal one last week in London against Urban Meyer, who the Jags have lost 20 in a row at that moment. I like the Dolphins plus 2.5. I think they're going to come out here, and I think they're going to win this game. Atlanta is Atlanta on the road. Don't trust them. I like Miami to get off the schneid here. Give me the Dolphins plus 2.5 getting points at home. And the last one, I did this for you week 1. Patriots-Jets. I'm not taking the spread. I'm taking the under. Under 42. There's not going to be 42 points scored in this game. There is not. I'm confident saying that. So under 42, Pats-Jets. This has like 23-7, something like that. Jets can't score. Patriots are going to lock back in on defense. Those are the picks. Very simple, to the point. The spreads are absolutely outrageous. Outrageous this week. You have spreads up to 17, I'm pretty sure, with Arizona. 17.5 point favorites at home against the Texans. You have the Rams, minus 15. The spreads are crazy. And the bye week, it hurts the NFL. Buffalo, Dallas, Chargers, Minnesota, Pittsburgh. Those 5 teams are on the bye week. Those are teams that entertain. I have no problem saying the Vikes are in there. So those are the picks. Let's get John Krasinski on. Let's talk NBA. It's back. Here's Johnny Athletic. All right, John Krasinski is with us now, senior writer for The Athletic, covering your Minnesota Timberwolves. Season tips off on Wednesday for the Timberwolves. My season kicks off Thursday, Bucks Heat. This is coming out on a Friday, unfortunately, but John, I appreciate you carving out some time for me today. You have to be excited that the NBA is back and better than ever.
Yeah, I can't wait, Steven. I'm really excited for this season. I'm excited, you know, from a Wolves standpoint, but I'm excited just really from a league-wide standpoint, because I think that there is a little more parity in the league, that it is a little more wide open. Mm. And, you know, the unpredictability is going to be at a pretty high level, which is always good, I think. So for the competition, for the interest. And so I'm really looking forward to getting things started and seeing what happens here.
I would agree. And before I should have plugged this before, John Krasinski's show, talknorth.com. Make sure to check that. I don't know how I forgot that being on the network, but there's your plug right there. And I agree with you. I think that for the first time in a very long time, we have some parity, we have competitive balance, and it's so important for this league. And I did want to ask you about preseason, because down here in Miami, one particular player has stood out, and that's Tyler Hero, 112 points in five games this year, added 10 pounds of muscle. My question to you is, you know, how much stock do you buy into preseason success? You've covered this league for a long time. What are some things that you actually take away and say, oh, wow, that's going to be good for the regular season versus is this going to translate when he plays starter minutes against starter players?
Yeah, I mean, I do think you take it with a grain of salt a little bit, certainly. I mean, depending on the opponents, like, what's their motivation? You know, like, for instance, you know, the Timberwolves played all four of their games this year, and they clearly really wanted to win, and they were kind of getting into it and trying to be competitive, and it was important to them. I think, like, when they're playing the Nets and the Nuggets, like, those guys didn't really care as much. And so you look at those things and you say, well, good progress, but you got to see it in the regular season. With a guy like Tyler Hero, who has really kind of not just played well, but exceedingly well, I think you put a little more stock into that. You certainly look at, you know, how the body looks, you know, adding that muscle and what that does for him. But when he is, like, dominating play, I think, like, that's a thing that you can take away from it. You know, this is kind of the same thing with summer league. When a player is, you know, just standing out head and shoulders above others, usually that's a pretty good sign that a decent performance is coming within the next year or two in the NBA. And so for a guy like Hero, who certainly did probably take a step back last year and didn't kind of continue the great play from the bubble that he had, and was disappointing to see that he really put in a lot of work, that he spent a lot of time on his game, and that he took to heart some of the probably criticism that was headed his way. I think that's a good sign for what is going to be coming here in the regular season from him.
For sure. And I want to bounce around the league. I don't want this to just be Wolves and Heat, but that's probably where we're going to start here. Another young gun, Anthony Edwards, huge, huge expectations for him going into next year. What is that ceiling, I guess, or what does that next level look like? What have you seen from preseason and just his offseason, what he's talked about? Like, what are you really expecting? We talk about Cat, we talk about D'Lo, but to be honest with you, John, it feels like if Edwards can take that next step, it may not matter as much if Cat, you know, is able to take another step. It feels like Anthony Edwards is sort of the straw that can stir this drink of the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I do think he is the X factor in terms of his development and how quickly he ascends. Certainly plays an enormous role in what kind of expectations the Timberwolves can have as a team. And I think that what, you know, when you talk to him and when you talk to the coaches who have been around him all summer long and getting him ready for his second season, the big emphasis was off the ball defense. Like, how do you kind of get him to understand schemes a little bit more, to kind of grasp concepts, and just to be more attentive and more engaged in terms of off the ball defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a team that historically has been a terrible defensive team, even under Tom Thibodeau. And so to get your best players bought in on that end of the floor is kind of a big step. And so far, again, preseason grain of salt, but he did play very much higher level intensity on defensive end. He's actually already a pretty good on the ball defender. And now it's just a matter of, they're just trying to get him to not fall asleep on off the ball, not get beaten the backdoor cuts, you know, keep track of where he is, cover for his teammates.
Right.
And there have been good signs so far that he is on that path. They want him to be a two-way player, a stud on offense and a stud on defense. And early returns are reason for optimism in that regard going into this season.
And I want to go back and forth on this, and we'll get into another question, but just about Edwards and you know, his raw ability, right? Like, we know about his jumping and leaping ability, but this defense, you know, when it comes to the NBA, it's a whole different animal coming from Georgia in college. you know, you got to tag, you got to do all these different things off the ball. But I think the Wolves are almost salivating. We saw the offensive standpoint, his talent, but from a defensive standpoint, like if he's able to really lock in and really start to understand the game, because it's just such a different jump from college to the NBA, these guys are just killers. I mean, they are absolute killers. If Edwards can, like you said, refocus, can he sort of lock in on that defensive end? Because at times, I mean, it is probably easy to get your heads in the cloud or whatever it may be. But there's constant movement in this league, especially with pick and rolls and the way that the game is being played. For the Wolves, it has to be, man, if we can get him engaged the same way he is offensively, this is going, like Spoelstra always talks about multiple winning efforts and winning plays and all those types of things. Wolves know that they're getting that offensively with a lot of different guys. And I'm not just saying this for Edwards, but for Edwards particularly, if he can make and affect those types of plays and possessions, it makes his team so much deeper and better.
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, I think that, you know, you look at how they're built right now and you have D'Angelo Russell, who's not a strong defender. You have Karl Anthony Towns, who I think can be better than he has been, but hasn't shown it over the long haul to be a consistently good defender in this league. And so you need someone at the top of your food chain. Correct. That is bought in on that side. And Edwards is, I think right now, the second best player on the team and probably ascending toward number one eventually. And so if he is a guy who can be a tone setter on defense and say that if I'm going to be putting in the effort on that side and I'm going to be paying attention and following the scouting reports and sticking to the schemes and doing the right things, then I can demand that of my other team.
100%.
And so I think that's what they're really trying to do. Having a big story at The Athletic this week that moved on Tuesday, and really looking into Edwards, you know, as a thinker of the game. And I do think that that part of his game has been overlooked to this point, where we see the big dunks, we see the kind of the funny interviews, but really, if you dig a little deeper with him, he does have a great understanding of what he needs to get better at and how to go about doing it. And so if he can kind of take the teaching, take the feedback and apply it to his game, now all of a sudden you have it, maybe not just a player who can be a really good offensive player for you. Maybe you have a real franchise player, and that's what they're hoping for here.
And that's exactly what they're hoping for. We're here with John Krasinski, senior writer for The Athletic podcast on TalkNorth.com. The John Krasinski Show does Vikings and also Wolves as well. Let's do Patrick Beverley. Started for the Clippers 34 of 37 games, and then Malik Beasley 36 of 37 games. Those two, I think, are anticipated on coming off the bench, if I'm not mistaken. Have you sort of asked them about coming off the bench? Because it is sort of different for guys that have been perennial starters, like their approach. What's sort of the feel for those two coming off the bench?
Yeah, I don't think there's any concern for Beverley in particular. He is at the stage of his career, into his 30s, where he understands like he's a role player here. Mm. And he has already been very engaged from a leadership perspective, from setting a tone defensively, from really kind of providing energy and grit and toughness. And the rest of his team has really responded to him well that way. But he certainly is comfortable with what is going to be asked of him. He's dealt with some injuries over the last few years. And I think that if he can see a logic to having him in a more limited minutes wise allotment, and that allows him allows him to be a leader with the second unit, you know, maybe stay healthier the whole way. And the other part of it is that he knows that there is a very good chance that in the closing lineup he's going to be a part of that. Like, he may not start, but they're going to need his defense, his veteran, and his shot making down the stretch in close games. And that's what he really wants to be in. With Malik Beasley, it's going to be a little bit more of a process, probably. I think Beasley fancies himself as a starting caliber player, but he does really fit better the mold of a microwave scorer off the bench. And what Chris Finch has talked about in training camp so far in the preseason is that they really like a role for him where he does not start, because that starting lineup already has Russell, Towns, and Edwards, who all need shots.
It's a lot.
And so it's going to be a lot easier to feature Beasley in the second unit, where he comes off the bench. Maybe he plays with one of those star players, and then there's just a lot more bullets for him to fire, and he can be more effective, get into a rhythm that way. And so I think eventually he will probably kind of see the benefit to that. But there will probably be some communication, some politics and things that they got to play with him to make sure that he feels comfortable and that he's okay with that kind of a role.
Winning teams have to have a sixth man, John, whether that is Joe Ingles coming off the bench in Utah. I mean, honestly, when I think of what Malik Beasley can be, even Jordan Clarkson in the year he had, you know, these teams, these really good teams have great benches, specifically that one. I mean, Lou Williams for years, right? Even Grayson Allen at times for Memphis, like there is still a very big role in this league for a sixth man, and Malik Beasley can do that. So I am truly excited to see that. Let's just do, I don't want to get into the vaccine topic with the NBA, but we're assuming here that Kyrie is out. How much does that change the Eastern Conference for you? You know, we know about Brooklyn. We know about Milwaukee, Miami, Atlanta. Like, how much does it change for you that Kyrie is out now?
I mean, it changes a little bit, but not a lot for me, Stephen, because I think if Kyrie was in there, the Brooklyn is like by far the favorites. I think they're the head and shoulders favorites in the East. Without him, they still might be the favorites in the East because they almost beat the Bucks without either one of those guys, essentially. I mean, you know, they were down to basically KD by the end of that series with the Bucks. And if he wears a size, whatever, 14 instead of a size 16, like crazy, they might be in the you know, would have advanced. So, and I think Sean Marks did a great job of adding to the bench with Patty Mills.
They're
a deep team, and with Harden and Durant, that is an incredible 1-2 punch. And so you add Blake Griffin, you add, you know, all of the role players that they have. I still give them just a slight edge on Milwaukee in the East. I think it is going to be very, very competitive. But I really do like Brooklyn a lot because I think Kevin Durant is the best player in the league. And so, if he kind of continues that, then I think Brooklyn's going to be in great shape as long as obviously the two of those guys, those main guys, stay healthy.
Two quick ones and I'll get you out of here. I appreciate you giving me time today. Let's just do the MVP. Some of the odds that were provided by DraftKings, we need to get them as a sponsor, but, give me the best value here. You'll have Luka at +380, the favorite to win MVP. KD +600, Embiid +800, Giannis +800. Look at the way he's shooting the shot right now. Utah specifically against Curry +900, Dame +1400. And I put in Jokic because he won last year +1500. Who do you feel comfortable, you know, if you're a betting man?
You know, I like Giannis a lot because he was never going to win three in a row.
No,
but he had, so you've had the break now, and I think he could have an enormous season coming off of the finals run that he had, the confidence he's playing with, how important he is to that Bucks team. But I would say, actually, if I was going to pick one in that group, I'd pick Steph Curry. Like, I think that as long as he stays healthy, given that Klay is not going to be in the rotation early, Steph is really going to have to carry a load. And he was playing phenomenally last year before he did it. And so I think from a value perspective, I would probably take that Curry pick, because if he plays just out of his mind early and keeps the Warriors right in the thick of things, and then Klay comes back and they hit another gear and kind of steamroll into the playoffs in the top four, which I think is possible. If that all happens, then you're looking at, you know, a sentimental favorite, you know, and a guy who can just absolutely light the world on fire every single night. And there could be like a kind of a redemption type of a narrative with him. The MVP has narratives with it.
Always.
So I would take Curry in that group for value.
I like that. I like that a lot. Last quick one for you. I got to ask you the approach of the Manscaped live reads. you know, how has that been for you? How's the process been from the first one to now? You seem like you're having a little bit more fun with it. You know, take us through of these are tough, man. I mean, they sponsored my show for a month. I'm looking at my girlfriend and she's like, you're not actually going to say this, right? And I said, I am. Give me, you know, walk me through here.
Yeah, I know. You know, they are incredibly aggressive in terms of their messaging. And at first, I looked at it as, this is ridiculous. There's no way I'm going to read this stuff. But you know what? I actually did get the product and tried it, so I'm not a total fraud in terms of like that. But this, at the second time, it's just like, I just figure, let's have a little fun with something, you know, like let's,
that's it.
I'm not so self-absorbed that I can't have people, you know, laughing at me or at my expense for some crazy little thing I read. My wife hears it when I record at home. She works from home. She just kind of shakes her head at it and is like, this is crazy. But I will tell you that I get more comments from readers or listeners or whatever about the Manscaped ad reads than the actual content of my podcast. And so something seems to be resonating. I'm just going to try and have as much fun with it as I can and, you know, make a few bucks and just kind of wing it. And, you know, if it makes someone laugh on their way to work one day, mission accomplished.
Hey, John, you're the best. I appreciate you jumping on with me. Have a great season. And when you come down here to Miami, please let me know. I definitely want to meet up and we'll do something. We'll figure something out.
Sounds good, Steven. Thanks a lot, man.
Yep. Thank you. All right. Big thanks to John Krasinski. Big thanks to you, the Talk North listeners, or whoever is just listening. I appreciate you always checking in. We'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show. Have a fantastic weekend. Put your feet on the chair and relax a little bit. We got no Vikings football to stress about. Enjoy the weekend, and I'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show.